What I have tried to do with the campers each night is to take them on a journey through the Bible and give them the overview of the Bible, to give them an idea of what the Bible is all about. Because when we look out at this world, and when we look around at the world that we live in, when we look at our own lives, it raises many questions. And it's only the Bible that can answer those questions. And so we've tried to give them that overview, and we've been using the PowerPoint, and I'm going to use this tonight. We've been going through what's called the seven C's of history that are set out in the Bible. And we have covered six of them, and we've only one more to cover tonight. But because there's a lot more here tonight, there's other young people who were at the Sports Fun Week who weren't at camp, and there's a lot of adults here, and you don't have any idea as to what we have been covering. So what I thought we'd do very quickly, very briefly tonight, is just simply recap what we've been going through, and then we'll just sum it all up with the very last C, the seventh C. So we'll put on, have we got it on the screen? And we'll hopefully this will work tonight, and I hope everybody can see it. Now, we've been learning, we read that verse of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, which tells us that the word of the Lord endureth forever. And I was really encouraged to hear some of the youngsters tell us that the Bible is the word of God. And we've been singing a little chorus all week, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The Bible is the word of God. But the Bible, as the word of God, is the history book of the universe. Because it's only the Bible that can make sense of this world in which we live. And the Bible tells us how it came into being and why we're here and what's going to happen in the future. So we've been looking at the history book of the universe. And I wonder, any of the campers tonight, can you tell me what the first C was? Okay. Creation, very good. We've got the seven C's. The first one, creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, the cross, and finally, the consummation. So I want to just go very quickly through the seven C's, and then we'll come to the last one and see how we go. The first one, creation. When we come to this world, this universe in which this planet is located, we've got to ask the question, how did it come to be? How did it come to exist? And some people tell us that the world and the universe evolved over millions and millions of years. And I've been drumming it into the young people what you should say when somebody says that to you. What should you say, campers? Were you there? That's right. Were you there, Sam? No, you weren't there. Was anybody else there when this world was created, when this world came into existence? How do they know? How do they know it's millions of years old? They don't know. Because they weren't there. None of us were there at the beginning. But there is one who was. And that's the Creator. And God has given us the eyewitness account of what happened in the beginning. I would rather believe the eyewitness account of the one who was there than the theory of men who were not there. Isn't that right? God has told us that the world was created in how many days? 6 days. Approximately how many years ago? Aaron. Very good. 6,000. Approximately 6,000 years ago. And there you have it. The 6 days of creation. Day one, earth, space, time and light. Day two, the atmosphere above us. Day three, the dry land and the plants. Day four, the sun, the moon and the stars. Day five, the flying and sea creatures. And day six, land animals and man. Anybody tell me how long the dinosaurs lived before Adam was created? Who hasn't answered? Let's see. Look. The same day, that's right. They were created the very same day. Okay, so there you have it. The Bible tells us how this world came into existence in 6 days. God created the world, the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. And God looked out over His creation and God said, it's very good. Everything God does is good. Isn't that right? Everything that God does is good. God looked out and He said, it's very good. It was perfect. It was perfect. But do we live in a perfect world tonight? We certainly do not, isn't that right? Anybody tell me something that's wrong with this world? Something that's not perfect? William. Sin. That's right. Anybody tell me something else that's not good? Sam. Corruption. That's right. What's corruption? That's right. When you take something that's good and it turns into something that's bad, isn't that right? What God created was good, but this world has changed and it's become something that's bad. And the reason why it's bad is because God gave a command to Adam and Eve. And that command was that they were not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of all the other trees. And God was teaching them that He is their Creator, had authority over them. He sets the rules. He tells us what is right and what is wrong. It wasn't left to Adam to decide. God decides and God determines. And God was teaching them in that simple command that He, as our Creator, has authority over us. But of course, Adam and Eve disobeyed against God. They rebelled against God. And as a consequence of their rebellion, everything turned bad. Sin came into the world, and death by sin. Anybody remember some of the things that happened because of that sin, that disobedience in the garden? That's right, that's right. They became shameful. They had shame. That's right. You remember the other night laser skirmishing? And they were away up in the hills and hiding in bushes and all the rest of it. And the thorns were beginning to pierce and prick. And the reason why the thorns are there is because of sin. That's right. You see the picture tonight? They had to wear clothing because they were ashamed. God said the ground would bring forth thorns and briars and thistles. God said that Adam, man would have to work, earn his bread in the sweat of his brow. He would have to work hard. We were trying to drum that into them this week. You know, they like an easy ride sometimes, and we were telling them that if you go through this life, you're going to have to work hard. And the reason for that is because of sin and because of the fall. In the sweat of his brow, they were put out of the garden. And God said, because you've sinned, death will come. And the world as we know it tonight is full of sickness and suffering and starvation and sorrow and death. And it's all because of sin. Some people say, why does God allow this? God didn't allow it. God was not the author of it. The reason for all the suffering and sickness and sorrow and death is because of man's sin. Because of sin. So we have corruption. But that leads us to the third sea, which the Bible tells us about. It's the great catastrophe of the flood. And of course, Adam and Eve, when they were put out of the garden, they had sons and daughters, and they grew up, and they married, and they had children, and eventually the population of the world grew and multiplied. And when God looked out over the world, He saw how wicked man had become. And He said that He would send a great flood, a judgment, the judgment of the great flood. Anybody remember how many years it was after Adam was created? Excellent. You're just a couple of years out. 1,656 years from Adam to the day that the waters of the flood covered the earth. That is excellent. They really were listening, you see. That's right. The great flood came because of man's rebellion. You see, man's nature hasn't changed since Adam was put out of the garden. Man is born, we are born into this world with a rebellious nature, and when we rebel against God, our rebellion brings God's judgment. And so God sent the great catastrophe of the flood. But He made a way of deliverance for Noah and his family. And He told Noah to build the ark, and we've got the dimensions there. And we looked at this on Wednesday evening. It was literally the year that changed this world. The world as we know it tonight is not the same world that existed before the flood. There are many, many changes. And all of those changes remind us that God is the creator, that God has authority over us. God sets the rules. And if we disobey him and sin against him, our sin will bring us judgment. Do you know what one of those things is that reminds us of that? It's the rain. We're talking about some of the days when it rained during Sports Fun Week. Do you know that every time it rains, it's a reminder to us that God judges sin? God must judge sin. Before the flood, there wasn't any rain, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. It was only when the flood came that rain was introduced to this earth. There's another change that reminds us. It's the very landscape of the earth's surface. And all over the earth tonight, there is evidence that at one time it was covered by a great flood, by the waters of the flood. And you can see in the Grand Canyon some of the lines that are the evidence that at one time water covered this whole region. And eventually it dwindled away until it became the river that lies at the very bottom. And God caused the seabed, the valleys of the seabed to sink and the mountains to rise, and the waters of the flood are contained there and at the North Sea and at the North Pole and at the South Pole. And all over the world tonight there's evidence of the flood, the reminder that God judges sin. Here's another reminder, the seasons of the year. While the earth remaineth, God said to Noah after he came out of the ark, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Before the flood, there wasn't the extremes in climate. And the reason why we've got those extremes in climate is because the flood changed this world. So we had the great catastrophe, that sudden, violent change upon the surface of the earth. God judges our sin. And then we discovered 100 years after the flood, the population grew, the family of Noah began to multiply, and God said they were to go out and inhabit the earth, but they rebelled against God again. Isn't that right? They didn't do as God had said because they still had that sinful, rebellious nature against God. And they decided that they would all stay in one place. Anybody remember the name of the land where they all stayed? Who can remember? That's where the ark rested, isn't it? It's not far from there. Not quite. That's right. It's what we know today as the land of Iraq. And they built the Tower of Babel, which they thought would be a means for them to observe the stars and worship the sun, moon and stars, turning away again from God. And God came down and he looked and he decided that he would send confusion. And the way in which he sent confusion was how? Look. That's right. At that time they only spoke one language, but God decided that he would scatter them by causing them to speak different languages. And of course, when they came to finish the tower, they couldn't, because they couldn't understand each other. And so they all scattered and spread out. You see, they still hadn't learned. They were still rebellious against God. And so we have one race, which began with Adam and Eve. They had sons and daughters, and then God judged the world because of its sin. And that reduced the population to Noah, his three sons, and their wives, just 8 people. And then from that family, all the peoples of the world, all the different people groups and cultures of the world today, over 6 billion people, have descended from the family of Noah. You know what that means? That means that we're all related. It means we're all related. There's not many races, there's only one race, the human race. And we come right from Adam and Eve. But the different people groups and language groups today go back to that time at the Tower of Babel. And then we find, as we come through the Bible, we discover, when we come to Noah, that eventually the Bible zooms in upon this man called Abraham about 2,000 years before Christ. And from this time onwards, the Bible concentrates on the family line of Abraham all the way until we come to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because although there were different people groups and different language groups, God chose one people group, one nation, because He had a special purpose for that nation. And His purpose was that from that line of Abraham, the Savior would come. The one who would deliver us from our sin. The one who would reverse the curse of the fall. And the one who would bring the blessing of eternal life. And so the fifth C is the birth of Christ, and along with that the cross of Christ. For the Lord Jesus came into this world in order to pay for our sins. The wages of sin is death. Death came because of sin. And the Lord Jesus, who is the Creator, the one who made all things, the second person of the Godhead, as God He could not die. But He came into this world and He took human form. He took a human nature. And He became the God-man. He became God manifest in flesh. And He walked upon this very earth that He had created. The very earth that He had judged with the waters of the flood. And finally He went to the cross. And at the cross of Calvary He gave His life to pay for our sins. So that we might go free. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead, so that tonight He's not in a tomb, but He's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, exalted, glorified, crowned with honor and with glory. And the Lord Jesus has promised that He will save all who will call upon Him and all who will believe in His name. And so that brings us tonight to the last C, which is the consummation. All the six previous C's have already taken place. They're all history. But the Bible tells us about one great event that's still future. And that event is the day when Jesus Christ will come again. He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and before He ascended, He gave to His disciples the promise that one day He would come again. He would come in glory and in power. And He would receive His people unto Himself. And He will make all things new. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." What does the sea remind us of? The S-E-A, I should say. What does that sea remind us of? The rain, that's right. Anything else? Think about the third sea in the seven. Not quite. The flood, that's right, the flood. Because the waters that covered the earth are the sea as we know them now. But when the Lord Jesus returns, He's going to reverse the curse. He's going to remove the judgment. And all that came on account of man's sin, He will remove by His redemptive work upon the cross. And He will make all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. And you know how the Bible describes it? It describes it by the negatives. It says there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more night, there'll be no more death. All the things that we are familiar with, and all that we can identify with, God tells us that in that new creation, they will all pass away. And He will make a new heaven and a new earth. And He came into this world and died on the cross in order to save a people who will be with Him in that new creation. The Bible tells us when the Lord comes that there's going to be the Lamb's Book of Life opened. And they're going to search for the names of all who stand before the throne And only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will receive an entrance to the new heaven and the new earth. I wonder tonight, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name written there? And when that day eventually comes, as it most surely will, I wonder, when they search the book, will your name be there? How do we know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We can only know for sure if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And we rest upon the work that He did for us on the cross when He died for our sins and shed His blood and rose again the third day. And when we receive Him into our heart and into our life, then we can be sure that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you ready for that day when Jesus will come again? That's the real purpose. That's the great reason for all that has taken place this last week. And you've had good fun and there's been plenty of activities. And you've enjoyed all the things that have been made on for you. But the greatest desire of all the leaders and all who have helped out is that you will come to know and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're not saved tonight and you would like to be saved, then you have an opportunity to be saved. And you can come and see either myself or Gary or any of the other leaders, Phil or Alan. You can come and see us afterwards. But don't you leave this meeting tonight without getting saved, without having your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.